There we go. I haven't used this tech in a while, but it's been a solid fallback for me for a bunch of different podcasts. Actually, I think the last time I used Zencastr, I was talking with Mark Little about Impeza, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that would have been a long time ago.
It would have been a while ago. I believe Mark has moved on to something at National, or maybe even out of that role since. I'm not sure.
I think he's left the organization.
The podcast has been going for a while. What can I say? Well, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff, the Scouting Stuff podcast. It has been far too long since I've been in front of the microphone recording a full-length podcast, and I am joined this time not by Scouter Colin. I'll have to hook up with him again later, but we do have with us Scouter Jonathan. Jonathan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi everyone. So I'm Scouter Jonathan. I'm a troop scouter with the 243 Tuscany group in Calgary, and I've been in scouting for 6-7 years, and I really enjoy it. I'm also one of the council voting representatives for the Chinook Council region, so I do get to contact other scout groups from time to time and reach out to people. So, and I'm a key listener of the podcast.
Awesome, thank you for that. And although we actually connected over Kandersteg, I think you had reached out just to learn a little bit more about the Kandersteg contingent, and we wound up connecting through that. So there you go. Now, you, I think there had, was there something in particular that you had had an idea about as like a topic? Because I thought you had mentioned something, but it's
Yeah, so I think when we talked a bit about volunteers and kind of ways to keep volunteers engaged and maybe attract volunteers. Right. And I think that was what we were talking about. So I suspect there are no scout groups out there who are closed to new volunteers joining because they've got too many volunteers. So I don't think there's anyone in that category. But I suspect there are scout groups like mine that are very, very tight on scouters. We actually went from a situation where we did have a lot of scouters, and then a lot of youth moved on from scouts to vents, and their parents went with them, and all of a sudden we were down to 3 scouters for a troop, which is just about enough if we're all available, but that doesn't always happen. So we're having to deal with that.
It did make me think.
What can we do to kind of make it work for us? So I don't know that we've necessarily got all the solutions, but I've certainly thought of a few things.
Well, good, because that churn is, and I mean, like that churn happens at every level with every section, right? Like, I mean, beavers to cubs, cubs to scouts. You know, there's always a certain number of scouters who are going to move up. There's sometimes scouters who will stick around even after their kids have moved on, but maybe they're not the norm. Probably they're not the norm. And so, but scouts to vents, like that is maybe a harder wall to breach, because vents don't need scouters in the same way that scouts and cubs and beavers do. At least if the programs run ideally, vents don't need more than at most enough scouters to satisfy whatever the ratio requirement is, because the scouters, the advisors, are really supposed to be like as hands off as possible.
Yeah. So I think if I think about our troop, we lost one who was doing both troop scouter and vent advisor, and then his kids went up to vent, so now he's not troop scouter anymore, so he's only doing vent advisor, and that's probably a good thing. Another one who her kids went up, and I think she's now got more of a, I think she's trying to help out with the younger sections, so because they need a bit of guidance, so she's available as and when we need help, but she's not being a regular scouter in the troop. One One did go up to be another Venn advisor, so there's two of them because it was it was quite tight when they only had one. And yeah, one other one was in the program for like 12 years or something and decided they'd done their time, so, which is, you know, like that. We all, I think part of volunteering is knowing when to walk away,
knowing when to tap out.
Yeah. So that's kind of what happened. And I mean, it made me think that the best time to recruit scouters is when you already have plenty of scouters, because it's much easier for the new people coming in. And perhaps we should have been doing that a little bit more last year. And but anyway, we are where we are. And we're still out there doing stuff. So that's good.
Yeah. Like I have thoughts around like how to bring scouters on board, because I've had to do that twice now where I've come into programs, sections, and basically with my arrival, everybody else left and I had to rebuild from square one. That happened to me with beavers and it happened to me with cubs. You know, I registered my eldest daughter in beavers and I could have gone with just a St. Albert scout group. But it was funny because like when she first expressed interest in joining beavers, I didn't actually know what the scouting scene was like in St. Albert, which we had only just recently moved to. So I did what I guess everybody of my generation was doing at the time. I threw it out on Facebook. It's like, hey, my kid's looking to join scouts. Hit me with details. And Scouter Colin, my co-host and good friend and best man, was at the time the group commissioner for our old scout group in Edmonton. And he's like, you know, my beaver scouters, their kids have long since left beavers. Some are even at the scout level now. They're all looking to move on. Would you think about it? So I did. And, you know, they stuck around for the first year. But then the second year, you know, it was they mostly all left. I think one of them stuck around, but he couldn't be there every week because he had other commitments sometimes on that same night. And so it was, you know, sort of that second year was super rough until about December when I had another lady join the program. She basically moved from one beaver colony, a community over to mine, just because she'd heard good things about the program I was running and wasn't really satisfied with the one that her group was running. And, you know, she came over, but I was super dependent on parents and occasionally borrowing scouters from other sections. It was rough stuff. And then again, with cubs, you know, eldest did her round in beavers. My second daughter was coming through beavers, so I didn't leave the beavers behind, but I also took on responsibilities with the cub pack. And same deal, a lot of the cub leadership was looking to move on. So that first year was okay, but then the second year, a lot of them disappeared. And so just this frantic period of recruitment again. So I have lots of ideas around how to recruit scouters. And I certainly know what worked to retain the scouters that I did recruit. whether those are strategies that port to every group, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to maybe look into all of that.
Yeah, and I don't think that, I mean, I certainly don't have the answers. And I suspect nobody has the answers because every group is different and every person is different. So, I do think it's, you know, I suspect the thing that's holding scouting back is the number of scouters, not the number of youth that want to join the program.
Well, I mean, we're ultimately dependent on ratio, right? You know, at the end of the day, for every 8 youth, you have to have one scouter and you need a minimum of 2 scouters. So you can have 70 youth on your wait list, but you'd better have 70 divided by 8 plus 1 scouters waiting in the wings in order to accommodate that.
Yeah.
Actually, so it's funny.
Go ahead.
You go. Okay. I was just going to say, like, it's funny that, you know, this is the topic because... And I'm hoping that I can say more, but like I've been in a few discussions with representatives from Scouts Canada recently. There's a thing that's in the works, and the topic of volunteers keeps coming up again and again because the topic of youth interest comes up again and again. Apparently, registration is up in 2020, like for 2023. Apparently, like it's on a very good trajectory. Which is nice. It's nice to see growth in the organization again as opposed to shrinkage. But if you don't have the red shirts on the ground, if you don't have people, fully trained adult volunteers, it's all well and good that there's interest, but you can't do anything with that.
Yeah. So I think I think that's absolutely right. Like, so I guess I was kind of thinking, and what we've been thinking in our group is to you know, how do we manage with only three of us, and what are we? So we've put, definitely put feelers out into the parents, but I'm personally not a fan of, you know, like, if you don't sign up, we're going to have to curtail the program. And volunteering is not something you can really force people to do, or kind of shame them into it. So that's my personal view. I suspect that there might be some times where people get absolutely desperate and have to resort to that. But I think that's probably, at least to recognize, that's not the best way of trying to get volunteers. So
I've never tried to have the conversation of, you know, like in that sense, but I mean, the way I framed this when I was discussing it a couple of weeks ago, this Scouts Canada thing, was that, you know, in a way, like, there's carrot and there's stick. You know, carrot is what you want, right? Like, these are the people who show up again and again, and at some point, you know, they start to become involved, not just, you know, they're not just a presence, but they actually start to become involved in activities. And at some point you can have the conversation with them, you know, that organic interest emerges. You can have the conversation, hey, would you consider getting trained up, becoming a scouter, right? And you can list off the reasons to them why that's a good idea. You know, I see you're always coming back, you know, you're helping out, and this is all well and good. But like, if you were on the list as a scouter, like, we can actually, like, not only keep doing what we do, but expand and allow more kids to join this thing, right? Like, you can have that kind of conversation. That's carrot. Sometimes though, stick is what has to take. I did, unfortunately or fortunately, have to resort to stick a few times, and not in the way that you phrased it, but, you know, I would have people come to me, like, you know, we'd hit our capacity, whatever it was, for registrations. And I mean, second year Beavers, second year Cubs, I had to keep those numbers artificially low because I didn't have scouters, right? I can't say, well, I have 50 openings when there's two, maybe three scouters at most. You just can't do that. So I'd have people, you know, we'd fill up, and I'd have people coming to me, just like, I would really, really like to register my kid. Like, you know, what are my options here? And I'm just like, honestly, right now, the only thing that's holding me back is that I don't have volunteers. And, you know, but it was always framed in the sense of, if you are willing, like, if you're willing to commit to me to volunteer and start the training path, like, I can work with my registrar. I can't, the registration system doesn't allow me to reserve a spot, but I can still reach out to my registrar and say, okay, at this time on this day, I want you to open one spot, and I can make sure that this person is aware of when that spot will become available, so they can register their kid, they complete their training, and they're, you know, like, it's the closest I can get to a reservation system without it. But even when I'm actually, you know, using the leverage of, hey, you know, even when I'm saying, you know, hey, like, you need to volunteer if this is going to go anywhere, I'm still making sure that there's room for their kid specifically in the program. And you know what, to be honest, half of the scouters I recruited that way, actually more, most of the scouters that I actually wound up having that conversation with are still with my group, right? Like, they've become the lifers, and they're great scouters. Because, you know, like, it's a little bit different than just having that, you know, it's a little bit different than just trying to force the issue. Because in a way, it's gauging it is a gauge of commitment, right? You know, like, if they're willing to take this on because they want this to be an experience for their kid, well, then unless the kid absolutely does not connect with the program, like, they're going to stick around because they have that engagement there. They have a level of commitment there. And even if it does feel a little bit underhanded to approach it that way, the end results, again, provided the kids connect with the program, the end results can actually be really beneficial to the group. That's certainly been what I've seen with my own group. I don't like using that as a tactic. I never have, but I can't deny that I've seen it succeed multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little more positive. Like, we definitely do that. I think that's okay. I think sort of basically when you tell them you're going to have to shut the program down unless someone signs up.
Yeah, no. That's not,
you know. I don't think that.
And it never should be like that.
No. So, but I guess one of the things I was sort of thinking of though is, that when we're so short of scouters, and I think post-pandemic, everybody's got a lot less time than they had before. I think everybody just seems busier. Don't know if they sort of start. I think maybe we just picked up stuff during the pandemic to replace what we'd lost, and then what we lost came back as well. And now we've, I'm not entirely sure, but it seems like people are busier. We've been thinking in our group about like how do we manage the workload, and especially like I know I travel a fair bit, and so I'm not always available for the weekly meeting, like because I may not just not be back. We meet on Fridays, and some Fridays I'm just not back in time from wherever I've been. So one of the things we've been sort of thinking about is, well, do we have to do a weekly meeting every week? So we're a scout troop, and we want to be doing the sort of outdoor adventures, hikes, camping, those types of things that we think that that's what the program is supposed to focus on. So we've sort of decided that if we have to, you know, if we're going to do something like that one at the weekend, then maybe we don't need to meet on Friday evening as well. Like it just, I mean, yep. So just to free up a little bit of volunteer time in terms of, the commitments were still once a week, and it might just not always be on the Friday night. That's something we've played around with, because ultimately I think those kind of outdoor weekend type adventures, they're the things that we want to be doing as scouters. I mean, the feedback we get is that's what the youth like doing as well. So it's not, it's a youth led program, so we're not running it for ourselves, but equally, if it becomes a bit of a treadmill and we're never doing the things we want to do, then that's when people start questioning whether
checking out
volunteering in the right place or not. So I think it's always a tricky one with the youth led, because you know you do want to let them youth lead, but if they pick activities that either the scouters can't do or don't want to do, it becomes a little a little tricky to kind of meet that. I mean, and we've had various strategies over the years of dealing with that, but and we've never really had, I don't think we've ever had anything where the youth have been really keen to do it. And none of us have wanted to do it other than skydiving or something that's on the prohibited list anyway. So we've always been able to avoid that.
At least then you have BP&P to lead because it's just it says we can't do that.
No. Yeah. I mean, part of the thing I like about scouting is you get challenged by the youth to go and try new things. So,
yes.
I qualified as a sailing instructor because the youth wanted to go sailing. So that's pushed me in. They wanted to do pioneering once, and I didn't know anything about pioneering. So I just watched a bunch of YouTube videos, and we went and started on a pioneering journey. So we've got quite good at being able to make things out of bits of rope and saves.
Well, and you do have to be able to respond to the youth's interest. Like my group, my Beavers, did board game design one year. Like they made board games because they wanted to. I had no idea how to do that, but I know I've told the story on the podcast before, and it was challenging and it was fun and it was enlightening because it was like awesome to see just the raw explosion of creativity that a bunch of 5-year-olds with markers can achieve. or even things like, I remember the first scout camp I took my eldest daughter on, right? She had just joined scouts. It was the October camp, and her and her bestie and this other boy, so two girls and one boy, all come to us, and they were just like, we want to build a lean-to and sleep in it tonight. And, you know, the scouters are like, give us 5 minutes. And we had to go have a little conversation about like, okay, well, I mean, we know what the we know what the guidelines say about like boys, girls, like co-residing in a structure for sleeping. But on the other hand, like, do we want to squash this? Like, do we want to tell them they can't do it? There's a bit of a debate there. And I mean, we ultimately came down on the side of allowing it, but you know, like you do have to take these things and consider them. And, you know, you do have to, as the scouter, you know, I mean, you don't want to be the department of no, but you do have to be the sober second look.
Yeah. Yeah. you do have to be the scouter of
sex. You're the adult in the room. Yeah. So, and it's, I mean, it's, you know, so you have to think these things through. But I mean, it is wonderful when the youth actually do like legitimately take initiative and want to just run with it, and they're passionate about it. And like, this is that really is what the program should be about as much as possible, because that's when learning happens, you know, right? Like if I can lead my scouts out into a forest and tell them, hey, build a structure that, you know, you might think you want to sleep in. But when I actually have three scouts standing in front of me saying, we want to build a structure and sleep in it tonight. Right. Like that, there's a level of passion there that, you know, like it's going to be more of a learning experience for them. So,
yeah, I mean, I always like getting pushed. I mean, I think very often, like with the youth led thing, I mean, I think when we first started, I'd kind of said, we had a meeting. I remember it was, we sat them all around the table and said, what do you want to do? And we got no response for like 20 minutes of probing and stuff. They just had no idea. But as soon as I said, well, what about this? They definitely wanted to do that. And then I said, well, what about something else? And they wanted to do that as well. So it's, so we've kind of got down to the point of, you know, maybe what you've got to do is give them a choice of a few things and see which ones they want to do the most, because they generally want to do everything.
They need the context too, right?
They're not going to know. I mean, and the other thing is, of course, once you do something that they enjoy, then you say, what do you want to do? And they want to do that again.
They want to do it again.
I think sometimes, right. That one, I don't have a problem with saying, you know what, we just did that. Why don't you think of something else? Like,
We can't do archery every meeting. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. So, but it would if it could.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there's, so I think it works. It generally works well. And, you know, there's one or two things that I've, you know, and maybe you're in a situation where there's something you really feel passionate you want to do and your group doesn't want to do it. And then, you know, it's a good opportunity, I think, to start asking around, offering your services to the next group. And you know, mm-hmm. I think we had a scouter get together the other night, and that was one of the things that we were sort of kicking around and pushing, that we've got to do a better job of building relationships with the next door group, and you know, then we can share resources, because especially with certification, so it came up in the context of needing like wilderness first aid to go and do a backpacking hike, because I don't have it, but I like backpacking, so if I want to go on take my troop off, I've either got to spend two weekends trying to get that. I mean, I presume that I would get it, but it's two weekends of my time to give up to go and get it. And I've got a lot of other things on. But maybe there's somebody in the next group who actually has it and they like backpacking and they're just looking for a reason to go. And they're, so I think
we do that.
You know, yeah. Like I think Scouts tends to be a little insular, and we probably do need to do a little more silo, I think is probably a better word, but we perhaps need to do a better job of just reaching out to the people next door. But
yeah. Well, and I mean, like Facebook has been good for that, because like, I know there's been a few times now where I've like clicked onto the Northern Lights Facebook group and people have been just like, you know, our scouts really want to do this, but we need a range master. And I'm just like, well, hang on. I've got two trained range masters. Let me see if one of them's got a free weekend. Or help, like we need 20 pairs of snowshoes. And I'm just like, we have snowshoes. Email to quartermaster. Hey, can such and such group borrow our snowshoes? Has anybody else got claim on them for this weekend? So you're totally right. Like and supporting that's great. The groups.
Yeah. And I mean, I've managed to make contact with the next door group through like, just clicking on there, going to their Facebook page and clicking on send a message on Messenger and firing off a message. You usually get one back pretty quickly. So, but as opposed to like trying to get your, you know, phone up the GC and then get them they can contact the council and trying to like in time trying to find the contact, and they get back to the GC who'll get back to me like that. In the past that had to be the way of doing it. Nowadays we've got other options. So I think
they're good options. But okay, so coming back to volunteers, right? Like, you know, I mean, there's set ways to recruit volunteers, and I mean, there's good and bad strategies for that. But retaining the volunteers is the real trick. But funnily enough, and this was something else that came out of, you know, my discussion with Scouts Canada, and various people just recently is that, you know, I think in a way, like, the things that work for retaining scouters also work as, you know, essentially turning your pool of scouters into a recruitment tool. And what I mean by that is, and again, like, this is specifically speaking to the situation within my group, but the scouters are, like, we're not just people who show up once a week, do a thing and then go our separate ways. There's a very strong camaraderie. There's a very strong community there. And it extends beyond that hour or two a week that we're at a meeting, right? We go camping together outside of the context of scouting. We had one situation where, you know, one scouter's wife passed away very suddenly, and he was kind of, I mean, despondent for, you know, a lot of reasons, because, you know, he had just lost his wife. But, you know, he'd kind of also come to realize that a lot of the friendships that they had maintained were her friends, and he was suddenly kind of feeling out there and a little bit alone. And like, we just rallied around him. Like, just, it was just this parade of scouters rallying around him, showing up with food and just to be there and just all of this stuff. Just kind of, you know, saying, hey, no, it's not, you're like, we've got you, you know. Just one thing that I've heard from several parents and even my own wife, just, you know, her observations of the way the scouters interact is that, you know, like, we're definitely not just showing up to be scouters. Like, we're showing up because we like each other and we want to hang out with each other. And there is that stronger sense of community there. And so, like, that's what I mean is, like, you know, if you can, and you do have to be a little bit picky when you're recruiting scouters, because you really do need people who can fit into that community. You know, you do need people who are going to build up that community. It sounds a little bit paradoxical to think that, you know, when you're desperate for volunteers, that you would ever be picky about who you'd recruit. But there is something for it, because, you know, like, if you can build up that scouter team into something that's not just a bunch of people who show up and then go their separate ways and they don't really interact outside of scouting, if you're building that community, even as you're building the scouting program, that in and of itself is going to be a draw for people. People are going to want to hang out with that. They're going to want to come closer to that. They're going to notice it. And that's, you know, some of them are going to want to actually be part of it. Plus, the people who are already in it are going to want to stay for as long as they can.
Yeah. I think with the emphasis on youth led, it can, you can kind of get to a point where you sort of start saying, well, it's all about the youth. And I'm not sure that, like, youth are important, very important, but if the scouters aren't enjoying themselves, if they're not enjoying themselves, the youth probably aren't going to enjoy themselves either, because they're not going to want to hang out with a bunch of miserable adults.
It comes to
and ultimately, if the adults aren't happy, they're not going to hang around for too long either. So,
So
I think it's important that you kind of take a bit of time to check in with each other and make sure you're okay. And I don't think there's any problem with every now and again just having a scouter get together without any youth and just...
Oh, absolutely. Sure, I'd say those are, like, mandatory. Like, those are so important.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have seen, like, people sort of say, well, it's youth led, so that means you've got to have the youth every planning meeting, and you need to make sure they're fully involved. And I think maybe from a planning point of view, that's true. But in terms of, like, scouter welfare, I don't think there's any problem with just getting together
checking in on each other. It's not true that you need to have the youth there for every meeting. Like, I mean, let's just say that explicitly, because, and yes, youth led, the youth should definitely be contributing, and it's important. Like, you know, what that looks like at different levels is, well, it's going to be different, right? Like, you know, what youth led looks like for the Beavers means that, you know, you're taking ideas and then you as the scouter are finding ways to facilitate those ideas. If the kids say, just again, top of my head, stuff that my Beavers have told me, stuff that we've done with them. Oh, I want to build a board game. Oh, I want to go snowshoeing. Oh, I want to make Lego movies, right? Well, okay, cool. These are all the kids' ideas. And it's on me as the scouter to figure out, like, oh, okay, well, do we have snowshoes? Cool. We got snowshoes. Let's find a time to go snowshoeing. We'll show up. We'll wait for the snow and we'll go snowshoeing. Oh, you want to build board games? I have no idea how to build a board game. I'm going to find somebody who knows a thing or two about building board games, and they're going to come and talk to the kids and lead the kids in an exercise. you want to do Lego animations. Hang on, I got a friend who's part of the Lego building club. I'm sure that he can help me out here, right? Like it's taking those ideas and then figuring out ways to bring them to fruition for beavers and for cubs to a degree. For scouts, it's a little bit different, right? Because with scouts, ideally, you should have the TLT, the troop leadership team, your troop leader, your patrol leaders, APLs, and they're coming together and they're meeting, and they should be giving you more than just a list of ideas. They should actually be saying, you know, hey, like, you know, we would like to have a camp, and maybe we could have it at this place or this place. But you still, as the scouters, you're still the ones calling up tangled trees, calling up camp woods and saying like, hey, you know, okay, we need a booking for such and such at this time. And, you know, all of that stuff. Like there's still a lot of adult organization that has to go into it. What it looks like for vents is different again. Ideally, at the vent level, they should be the ones who are doing the lion's share of designing, planning, and executing the activity. But for the younger sections, no, like the scouters have much more of a role to play, even though ultimately you are still trying to realize the youth's ideas. And it absolutely makes sense to just get all the scouters together, whether it's at someone's house, you can have a barbecue, whether it's at a restaurant, you can have a pint, doesn't matter. But just get the adults together as adults. And yeah, you're doing the business of being scouters, but you're also just hanging out.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's really important. And the funny thing is though, that's, we sort of put some feelers out to the parents, and, one of the feedback we got was that we were a little intimidating because they think we do such a great job, they would never be able to like match up to us, which I found strange because I'm not sure I figure I do a great, like, I mean, I figure I do my best, but I'm not no expert. And a lot of the skills I've got are self-taught. So I don't feel like I'm, you know, one of the reasons I'm scouting is because I get pushed to do new things by the youth, or I'm sort of able to go, oh, there's something I've always wanted to do. Okay, why didn't you guys interested in doing that? But so I don't know. We might have to deal with that. But I was a little surprised to hear that. But I guess perhaps sometimes we can look a bit intimidating. But anyway, I mean, hopefully that, you know, I certainly wouldn't have any expectations of somebody coming in that they're going to be a brilliant, you know, backwoodsman or whatever that, you know, or anything. I mean, generally speaking, if you've got people with different interests, that's better because they can kind of lead with areas in other areas. I mean, I know even in our sort of regular, I've never been a massive scout trucks person, but we've had other scout leaders who just love that. And
I love the races. You know,
yeah. And so like that's, so it's great because that sort of gives me a couple of weeks off because I'm not that bothered about it.
Right.
And, you know, and other people can, you know, display their enthusiasm for that as, you know, as when that time comes around. And so the youth, and that works great for the youth. So.
When you're exactly right. Like that's exactly the response to give is that, you know, at the end of the day, the scouting, like, you know, the scouting principles you get trained on anyways. And the most important thing you can bring to the program is yourself. You know, like, again, you know, conversations I've exactly had around that. Like, you're so right about that is that, you know, I am what I am. I do what I do, right? So there's things that I can bring to the program, right, that other people can't. I don't think any of the other scouters would feel comfortable leading a coding exercise. But we have another scouter who's a trained chef. So you better believe that we've done all kinds of fun cooking stuff. You know, for a while, we had a scouter who was a mining engineer. So, you know, she organized a couple of meetings around concepts of geology and mining. And the Beaver Scouts absolutely loved having to try and dig all the chocolate chips out of their cookies, but leaving the cookie as intact as possible, right? Like, you know, just fun. And innovative, or even like people, even if it's not something that people themselves bring, but people know people, right? I have a friend who builds Lego, right? Like he's part of the Northern Alberta Lego users group. They do the huge colossal builds that you see at like Comic-Con shows and whatever else, right? So when, you know, it's like, John, do you have like a diorama and some stuff that we could use for Lego animations? Oh yeah, sure. Me and my buddy, we'll bring it by. What night do you need that on? Or somebody, you know, the beavers wanted to do a thing about bugs. And, you know, somebody knew somebody through the university who is like the bug lady. And she showed up with all kinds of live and dead creepy crawlies. And it was an hour of just, ew, gross. That's just so awesome. Right. Sometimes it's who you know, not necessarily what you personally know, but who you know.
Yeah. And everybody brings something. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we talked about at a scouting meeting the other night was like reaching out and, you know, asking people around before you jump to paying a third party adventure provider, like just reach out. I mean, I know we have, I think we have a vendor in our group who, you know, is a qualified belayer. So he can take people, you know, he can take people at the climbing center and they can, he can be that person who kind of gives them instruction and holds on the rope. At least I think so. You know, so he could probably help out other sections, whereas they might just go down there and pay $25 an hour for the rent, the ex person there. And
right.
So, I mean, we spend a lot of time fundraising and it's a lot of effort to fundraise. And it seems a shame if we then just turn around and spend that money on an activity that there probably are people that we know or elsewhere in scouting that could have run it for free. Right. So,
yep. And I mean, like,
I probably would have really enjoyed running it for free as well. So,
And that's the key point, right? Like literally, like what makes youth-led succeed is that it lets the youth use the program to, you know, explore their own interests or explore things that, you know, they haven't had a chance to do elsewhere in life, right? Like it's, but the same is true for the scouters, right? Like that, and I think that also helps retain the volunteers. It's just the fact that, you know, the scouters can have that same experience because in finding ways to bring these crazy ideas of the youth to fruition, you know, the scouters can find ways to bring themselves into the program or reach out to their circles and bring in people they know. And just like all of this, you know, they can really leverage themselves and leverage their wider circle and just, and like, and oftentimes for free, right? Like who knew there was the bug lady who would happily come out and just sit down and chat with you for an hour, right? One of my scouters knew. That's who knew. And it was awesome, right? No charge. And it was amazing. Things like that. So, you know, like, or, I mean, like another time we did a Lego thing and I'm sitting in Calgary right now. And, you know, one of the other times that we did a Lego thing with the beavers, this one was a paid thing. We didn't do it for free, but you know, I went to the petroleum show here in Calgary, right? The oil and gas trade show, years back. And while I was there, there was like this one booth that was nothing to do with oil and gas. It was some kind of like Lego teaching and Lego based teaching and learning thing. They had offices in Calgary. They had offices in Edmonton, a few other places. And I just grabbed a card randomly, right? I'm like, oh, this might be useful. Tucked in my wallet, didn't think about it for a year. And then all of a sudden the beavers are like, let's do something with Lego. And I'm just like, hang on a minute. Called up the number and they showed up with like, you know, these kits for like building robotic Lego cars. Like it was just right. Like it, cause I picked up a card at a trade show. Right. You know? So
yeah.
Like the program is youth led, but it is definitely not, you know, the scouters are not forbidden from bringing themselves into the program as well. And in fact, the program succeeds, I think, the best when they're able to.
Yeah, like, because I think, yeah, I mean, it's important to keep everybody engaged, and that includes scouters and,
exactly.
And youth. And I think, you know, I think there probably are groups out there or have been in the past that have a very kind of regimented, this is what we do. We camp on these days and we do this and kind of have the same events year after year after year. And maybe COVID broke that up and that would be a good thing. I mean, there probably weren't a lot of good COVID things, but that might have been one if that was happening. You know, it's like I said, the youth are quite keen to do something they've done in the recent past if they liked it. And sometimes it's easy for the scouters because you set it up a year ago, so it's easy to do it again. But sometimes that's not the best. Sometimes it's better to park it for a year or two and then come back and revisit it.
Absolutely. And I mean, sometimes it's just lightning in a bottle. You get it once and it's amazing and then it just doesn't happen again, you know? And
a few years ago.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, a few years ago, we took we booked the Elizabeth Parker Hardtop at Lake O'Hara, and we skied for on a Saturday night, and we skied the whole. We booked the whole hut, and we took the scout troop and a couple of other people who wanted to come up there, skied in, and stayed there the night, and it was an awesome trip. And I've got they still talk about it, you know, three or four years later. But unfortunately, the Alpine Club have changed the way they book huts now, and everybody has to be a member to book. So I can't just go and book for the entire group anymore. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that again. So, but there's plenty of other things we can do. So,
The board game that I mentioned.
That was just a great trip that I think we might struggle to repeat.
It is, or like the board game thing I mentioned, right? Like we did it with the Beavers, super successful. It was amazing. Tried it again with Cubs. And a lot of those Cubs were the same ones who had been Beavers at the time we did that, and it fizzled, right? Like sometimes it's one and done, and it was an amazing thing, and you just got to cherish the memory, but move on. And sometimes, too, you just have to take it on the chin. It's just like, okay, well, this idea didn't work so good. Come back next week. Try again harder. being able to support each other as scouters through those situations as well, right? Like, you know, obviously you love the highs, but being able to be just like, okay, well, that one didn't work so good. Better luck next time, y'all. See you next week. And being able to just laugh it off as a group.
I always say as long as we don't have paperwork to fill out, we're okay.
Yes, right. No one's hurt. Everyone's gone home. No one's missing. Okay, cool. We're good. Yeah. We're good. It is very true. I don't know. Like, it's funny. Like, you know, I think I've had to take steps back in the group, in my group, you know, from the heyday of me simultaneously leading Beavers and Cubs and overhauling both programs. You know, you have to be careful not to burn yourself out like I did. But at the same time, you know, like I still look around like meetings, right? And like all of the, you know, everything scouts on down. Like I look around the meetings still and, you know, so many of the scouters there came aboard during the time, like I helped bring them aboard, right? And just and they're awesome scouters in their own right, you know, but they stayed. And, you know, they stayed because, well, their kids love the program. Their kids connected with the program, which I guess is the other thing, too, is that, you know, your best recruitment tool, not your best recruitment tool, your best retention tool is, well, actually, it is a good recruitment tool, too. Your best retention tool and recruitment tool is just don't hold back on the program, you know, just do whatever you can for the program, right? I had no idea what I was doing coming into Beaver Scouts, and I had, you know, I barely had enough scouters, and I had all these kids with all these heads full of ideas, and I mean, we were just doing whatever we could think of, you know, talking to people who'd been to space and getting out in the community and doing stuff and going on exploring and camping and whatever else, and just that drew people in, right? Like we literally had people come to us and say, your group's doing stuff that I wish my group would do, but they just won't. Can we come to you instead? You know, and our growth was mostly organic in the sense of, you know, kids would tell their friends, oh yeah, I did this at Beavers last night. I did this at Cubs last night. The friends are just like, that is the awesomest thing I've ever heard. Can I join too? Right? Like just it, you know, just unshackle yourself. You know, like the worst thing is, and I've heard this from other groups, you mentioned it earlier, is, you know, the people who just like the program is the same every year. We do the same thing the same week every year. It's like, no. Just let all the preconceptions go and run whatever crazy program you can think of in the moment, because that'll draw people in, even when it fizzles. And sometimes it will fizzle week to week. The kids are having fun. The adults will have fun, and it'll bring people in, and it'll keep people, right? Because they're getting something that they're not getting anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that you got to plan ahead. Like if you need to book a campsite, then you do sure. need to be, you do kind of need to be need there to be on the ball when the reservation's yes. open. But yeah,
yes.
so, like it's a problem. Sometimes you leave stuff too late to start planning and, you know, they want to do something and it sounds awesome and you start ringing around and looking up and everywhere's fully booked and so that. So mm-hmm. it's always a little challenge as to short-term planning versus medium versus longer-term planning. You kind of got
to
have.
But you need to be able to do both, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think, I mean, you made a good point there about letting you run the program. And as you said that, I was thinking, yeah, and what you don't want to have is you don't want the program running you. So you don't want to be, okay, we have to do this meeting on Friday. We have to do a meeting on another Friday. We have to do this because that might stop you doing something else that you really want to do. So, and I don't think most parents are signing their kids up for over 2 hours of babysitting a week. Like they're signing them up because of all the awesome activities that we do. And if those awesome activities are on a Friday night, that's great. And if they're on a Saturday and they're awesome, then that's good as well. And I suppose if that clashes with sport or something, then I guess they just have to decide which is their priority. But
that sucks. But at the same time, it's an important lesson too for the youth, right? Because, you know, sometimes in life you actually have to choose between doing fun thing A or fun thing B, and they just happen to be coincident, and you can't be in both places. It's never fun, but at the same time, you know, like it's a valuable skill to foster as well, right?
Yeah,
and I mean,
I always think like if we're having running a fun activity and maybe only a third of them show up, but if that third have fun, it was a good time. I can't do anything about the other two thirds who can't make it.
Like I've never agreed with the idea that we should wind down scouting when sporting ramps up. I mean, you'll lose kids to soccer and you'll lose kids to fastball and whatever else, right? Like, sure, there's going to be kids who will go away for a while the sport season is up. Oh, well. There's still going to be kids showing up to the meetings and you just keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
My thoughts.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think, it's a shame if you force people to miss out on something, but as you say, that's life. So perhaps, you know, a lot of scouting is about teaching people life lessons. So, having to choose A or B is probably something they're going to have to keep doing in the future.
Yeah. And I mean, like, some stuff, like, you know, we mentioned only happens once and then, you know, just for whatever reason, you can't recapture the magic. But other stuff can be cyclical, you know, this is something that I've, you know, we've had to have these conversations like at home too. Like there's my eldest, like scouting is huge to her. It is such a key part of her identity, as it was for me. And that's great. Like I love to see that. I love to see that passion. But at the same time, you know, there have been times where we've had to be just like, you know what, we're going to have to give this particular activity a miss. And yes, she's disappointed by that. But, you know, like there's something else that comes up that's of higher precedence, whether it's like a big family event or like something. There's been a few times where we've had to, you know, concede that, you know, okay, we can't go do the scouting thing because we have the other thing. And, you know, I mean, that is unfortunately part of life. But it's, you know, like it's also... there's something else to those moments too, is that as disappointing as they are, like, you know, it's the fact that they hit the way they do. If you miss something and you don't care about it, you know, what does that mean versus, okay, well, I missed that and it sucks that I have to miss that. And I'm actually really bothered by the fact that I have to miss that. Even if I can understand why, you know, like you feel something there, right? You're not just lukewarm on it. You're there's strong feelings about this thing. And it's like, you know what? Yeah. It sucks that I have to miss that. I have to, and I'm going to come roaring back the next time for sure. And those opportunities do a lot of the times come up again. You know, there will be more camps, right? At least with my group, there will always be another time to go and do archery. But yeah, like it's just, I don't know. It's never fun to miss a thing, but it's great when, you know, that passion for scouting, is still there and endures past that. And, you know, you don't ever want to see anybody be sad, but better sad than indifferent.
Yeah, that's like a very good way of looking at it.
So, and yeah, I mean, if you can keep your kids from becoming indifferent to the program, chances are you're going to keep your scouters from becoming indifferent to the program too, because most parents, like, their engagement will follow very closely behind their kids' engagement. Even if there's divergent interests there, right? You know, like, they will see their kids having fun and they'll want to foster that, and they'll have fun too. Oh my goodness. But, you know, just, I think being a, and, you know, like, this is kind of a, my wife used to always bug me that I was a wallflower. It's like, why are you such a wallflower? Like, you know, we'll go to my family events, or we'll go to this, that, and the other thing, and you just, like, you won't say five words to people, but I put you in a room full of scouters you've never met, and you're fine, and you're the chattiest person there. You know, I'm just like, well, these are my people, you know? And that's, I think that, I mean, if you can get your scouters to that point where it's like, these are your people, then it's a very good thing. And you don't, you know, that's not something that you can force. It's not something that you can really even plan for. It's something that just sort of emerges by just, you know, all those things we've discussed, building that community and inviting people in to bring themselves in. And all the rest of that. And if you can put that all together, then, you know, like, you'll become people's people and they will want to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, and I'm sure there's no magic formula. Like, if I look in my group, we all got very different backgrounds, different employment, different interests outside scouting, but we all seem to get on pretty well when it comes to scouting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's no template for the ideal volunteer out there.
No, and I don't think I'd want there to be, because that's too cookie cutter, right? You know, like, it's the program succeeds when you have the widest variety of interests possible, because everybody's going to have their own ideas.
I think that's,
and everybody else is going to have, like, it's just, I mean,
and that way you don't have to, you don't have to be the person who likes, who wants to do everything or who is in charge of everything. Cause at that point, you know, I think, like I said, with the scout trucks, it's good to have a period where you kind of take a back seat and somebody else takes the lead on it for a couple of weeks. And then you come back, you know, maybe we're doing orienteering or sailing or something that I'm really interested in, and I'm taking the lead for a couple of weeks while we do that.
Exactly.
That keeps everybody fresh and gets people kind of, you know, off the treadmill, I think.
Yep. And it just, you know, it does. Like, and everybody's got their different approach to how, you know, they'll introduce the topic and carry out a meeting. And, you know, and it does just give the, I mean, occasionally you'll get a scouter who's like, I don't know if I feel comfortable, like, taking charge with the scouts. And you know what? You could roll with that too. But I've never yet had a situation where someone's come to me as a scouter or as a potential scouter, said that, and then within a year or two, you know, hasn't completely gone back on that and jumped in to do something because, oh, scouts want to do this? Well, geez, I know all about that. You know, like, being able to meet people where they are, work with them as they are at first, but then, you know, just finding opportunities for them to shine, really, you know, it's... I suppose there's a lot of management expertise that ultimately comes into this, right? Because that's, you know, kind of the success. That's the way to have a successful team at work too, is finding the right people and then giving them room to succeed, right? But yeah, it's, anyways. Yeah, like you say, I don't know if we have all the answers. I don't think we have any answers, but definitely there are things that seem to work.
Yeah, and there's just lots of little things to think about, but overall, hopefully something is helpful.
Yeah. So, well, that's been a fruitful discussion. But I should probably think about getting to bed at some point here. I don't want to be dog-tired for the client.
I think that's probably good timing.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out and for your time today earlier and now again. So this was great.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back on, I'm sure. And thank you out there for listening. And until next time, be prepared.